welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions, produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust. This is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello, today on the Parrot Care Sessions, I'm joined by Pamela Clark. Pam is a parrot behaviour consultant and licensed veterinary technician with over 40 years' experience working and living with parrots. Her knowledge extends to a wide range of parrot species, and her experiences branch out to training parrots in behaviours as complex as that of free flight outdoors. Pam is also a well-known author, and her articles have appeared in many publications, including the Grey Play Round Table, Companion Parrot Quarterly, Bird Talk Magazine, Birds USA, Parrots, Citizine, and Good Bird Magazines, among others, and have been translated into several foreign languages. She also contributes to the Ask an Expert panel for the World Parrot Trust. In her experience, both as veterinary technician as well as behaviour consultant, Pam frequently encounters caregivers dealing with the frustration often associated with parrots exhibiting signs of feather destructive behaviour, or FDB. Pam is here with us today to try and shed some light on the many causes of FDB and provide guidance to the caregivers of companion parrots suffering from this affliction. Pamela Clark, Pam, welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions, and thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Well, thank you, Charlie. I'm happy to be here.
Pam, feather destructive behaviour is one of those key welfare issues that I'm sure many owners are concerned about. In the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be covering many aspects of FDB, including what it is, why caregivers should be watchful for feather plucking or picking, and of course, how best to help their birds with whatever is causing feather destructive behaviour. And I think the direction we'll be taking is really well summed up in the opening paragraph of a two-part article you wrote for an issue of the World Parrot Trust's magazine Citizine, where you say that feather destructive behaviour has become quite common among companion parrots. I also encounter it as a widely accepted behaviour, as just something that captive parrots do. When any parrot destroys his own feathers, it is a sign that something is wrong and intervention is needed. Pam, I think that's a wonderfully powerful and concise statement and is a perfect roadmap for this podcast. So let's start by explaining what FDB is and how we know when a parrot is affected by it.
Sure. Well, feather destructive behavior, which is also often called feather picking or feather plucking, is usually defined as any self-inflicted removal of feathers. But this can take many forms. Some parrots pull their feathers out completely. They pull them right out of the follicle using either their beak or their feet. Other parrots chew their feathers right off at the skin level. Some parrots systematically remove bits of feathers, which is called barbering. And this can take the form of either stripping the individual barbules right off of the center shaft or removing the outermost tip of the feather, which usually results in sort of a chevroned appearance. But I would like to stress that this does not include self-mutilation, which would be defined as a parrot chewing into the skin to create a wound. I encounter a lot of caregivers who worry that their parrot's feather picking will progress into self-mutilation, and I like to reassure them that this is not usually the case. A given parrot can engage in both feather destructive behavior and self-mutilation, but it's important to realize that one does not necessarily lead to the other.
That's a very important point, Pam. Thank you. To go back to the second part of my question then, what should a caregiver be looking out for that would clearly identify feather destructive behavior in their bird?
In terms of how a caregiver would know that their parrot was beginning to be affected by feather destructive behavior, It usually becomes evident when they observe either a very ragged appearance to the feathers or they start to see spots that are completely bald. Often, feather destructive behavior is confused with molting, but the vast majority of parrots during a normal molt will never show bald spots at all. In the decades that I've been keeping parrots, I've encountered maybe a handful that did have bald spots, very small ones during a normal molt, but those spots, of course, filled in quite quickly and they did not become larger.
So what causes FDB, Pam? Is there a trigger or a particular event that initiates the behavior?
There often is, Charlie. In the vast majority of cases, and this is something that is not widely understood, there are a number of causes that all combine together to sort of push the bird over the edge into this behavior. But in many cases, there is a trigger. For example, I think in my article, I discussed a young African gray parrot who had experienced very less than optimal rearing conditions. She was weaned too early. She was not allowed to fledge and learn to fly before she was adopted out. Then when she was adopted, she was shipped across country to someone who had never had a parrot before, and she was shipped as an unweaned baby. So her hand feeder changed as well as all of her other living conditions. And she tolerated each of these changes quite well. But then the trigger for her was the fact that her owner went away and left her for 2 weeks with an unfamiliar caregiver. And these triggers do contribute to a lack of understanding about this problem, because in many cases, the trigger is actually blamed for the problem, when in fact, it really are these other underlying causes that need to be corrected in order to resolve the problem.
So are we really saying here, Pam, that the onset of feather destructive behavior is the end result of a chain of events, or is that too general a statement to make?
There can be a chain of events. In most cases, what serves to create the problem is the fact that many areas in the parrot's life are a little out of whack. So the bird may not be on an appropriate diet. He may not be getting enough rest. There may or may not be a medical cause present. So it usually is the case that less than optimal conditions are present in the parrot's life.
And this behavior can start at any age, Pam?
It can, although it is rare for a parrot to begin the behavior at under a year of age. As time goes on, these less than optimal conditions that parrots may tolerate well in the beginning start to take their toll, and that's when you see the problems start to develop.
If we're looking for causes, Pam, are there any conclusions that can be drawn by observing the area of the body the parrot most frequently picks or plucks, i.e. the wing area, the chest, back, legs, etc.?
Well, you can't draw any conclusions about causes from the area of the body where the parrot picks most frequently. But if you are trying to guess about causes, you can gain some clues by looking at the area where the parrot first begins the behavior. So, for example, if it's a young parrot and he starts to chew off his tail or his flight feathers, then you would suspect that chronic stress or anxiety was a partial cause. If you have an adult parrot who starts to chew feathers off on the legs in the very beginning, then you might suspect that increased production of reproductive hormones was a partial cause. If you have a parrot who barbers her feathers, then you would want to examine the possibility that chronic anxiety, boredom, and hormone production might all be playing a role. But if a parrot first starts to destroy feathers over the torso, then the cause could be either medical or non-medical. So this sort of observation is very unscientific, and it can provide you with some clues as to where to look, but it's not going to give you any definitive answers as to the actual cause.
Tell me, Pam, does a parrot exhibiting feather destructive behavior only pluck itself, or might it also pluck a fellow flock member?
Well, it's possible that a parrot might pluck a flock mate, but in my experience, this is unusual, and it really only occurs when parrots are caged together and when they share a pair bond. And then in that case, the solution is simple because you just separate the birds into two separate cages while still allowing them some social time together when they're out of their cages.
Thanks, Pam. I tell you, I'm quickly realizing just how complex this behavior is.
It is, Charlie, and that's really the case to keep in mind.
So, Pam, feather destructive behavior, FDB, is all about self-destruction, and that though parrots are generally tolerant animals, FDB is an unmissable outward sign that there are many things wrong in a parrot's life. Having said that, this may seem a really obvious question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why should caregivers be concerned with a change in a parrot's feather plucking or picking behavior?
Well, I think that's actually a very good question, especially in the face of the acceptance that I so often encounter in caregivers when their parrots do feather pick. A parrot who begins to destroy his own feathers, the very things that he needs for survival, it's a sign that something is wrong. It's a sign either of illness or that he is not experiencing an adequate quality of life. A parrot who's healthy, who eats an excellent diet, and who enjoys an optimal environment in other ways is not going to engage in this behavior. And I think most caregivers instinctively understand that, and that's why the behavior is so upsetting. They want to help their parrot when the bird begins this behavior, but they're often very frustrated in their attempts to do so. So it's very important to address the behavior immediately when it starts in order to correct whatever is wrong and then to restore the parrot to the best quality of life possible.
Presumably, therefore, there are risks or dangers to the parrot if feather destructive behavior is left unattended.
Well, certainly there can be. In some cases of feather destructive behavior, it occurs because of an illness or some other physical problem. So if this is the case and the caregiver does not address the issue, then it could ultimately shorten the parrot's life and certainly significantly decrease quality of life. But I think there's also an ethical component to the question that should be acknowledged because we've chosen to keep these creatures who evolved to enjoy, the ultimate freedom in terms of full flight outdoors. And we keep them restrained in cages in our homes. And I'll hasten to say that most parrots tolerate this and even thrive under the limitations that are inherent in that experience. But if a parrot begins to destroy his own feathers, it really is our duty immediately to begin the process of figuring out what's wrong and then implementing measures to correct the problems that might exist. And, in some cases, you can't completely resolve the problem, but you always will increase the parrot's quality of life if you take the steps to examine what might be wrong.
Which leads us very neatly onto how we should treat feather destructive behavior, Pam. What's the very first step a caregiver should take if they suspect FDB in their parrot or parrots?
Well, the first step is to get the parrot to an avian vet who is experienced in dealing with this problem and to have some diagnostic testing done that would rule out a physical cause. And I want to stress that last part. Because parrots hide signs of illness due to their prey animal status, you can't always tell if a parrot is healthy simply by doing a physical exam. Unfortunately, there is still the assumption among many veterinarians that most feather picking is what they call behavioral, and those who believe this will not always offer diagnostic testing to the owner. But I advise my clients that if they take their bird to their vet and no testing is done, they really should seek a second opinion because it's not fair to the parrot to assume that the problem is behavioral unless you exclude to the best of your ability any physical causes.
So, just to make that clear, Pam, while the problem is termed feather destructive behavior, that isn't to say that it's necessarily caused purely by a behavioral problem and that we need to check for a medical problem or cause too.
You really do.
So what are the typical diseases or illnesses a vet should be testing for?
Well, I can't say that there are typical diseases that a vet would check for, simply because there are many different disease-related problems that can be associated with this behavior. The most common of these, I guess, would be some type of infection. Infections, however, can be bacterial, viral, fungal, or even parasitic. So you have quite a range of things that can be wrong that would contribute to the problem. There are also metabolic disorders, such as liver disease, that can cause the problem. There are endocrine conditions, such as thyroid dysfunction, which can contribute. Parrots who have the run of the house can ingest pieces of metal, and that too can contribute to the problem. Typical testing might include a complete blood count, which would check for anemia as well as infection, a fecal analysis, which would help to identify any intestinal parasites that might be present, a Gram stain, which would show the types of bacteria present in both the respiratory and gastrointestinal tracts. A chemistry panel might also be done, which would help to show organ function, and even radiographs, which could show abnormalities within the body.
I think that list just shows again, Pam, that saying that FDB is just, in quotation marks, caused by stress is very much an oversimplification of what is actually a very complex problem.
Charlie, I think that's a good point. I think that we have to assume that almost all companion parrots experience a certain degree of stress simply because they do live in a state of what might be called chronic restraint. However, most parrots, if all other conditions are optimal and contributing to good physical and psychological health, will not begin to feather pick because of this very low level of restraint that they might experience.
And for anyone interested in the subject of stress, Pam, we should perhaps point out that you and I have spoken about the subject for another Parrot Care Sessions webinar, which listeners can find here on the World Parrot Trust website as well. But to continue with this conversation, after ruling out medical issues as the cause of FDB, what in your opinion are the next logical steps to take?
At this point, what we would start to do would be to look at the non-medical causes of the problem. And I usually list these as inappropriate diet, chronic stress or anxiety, increased production of reproductive hormones, lack of independent play skills, which usually results in boredom and or over-dependence upon the owner, sometimes inadequate bathing opportunities or lack of adequate rest contribute, as can insufficient exercise. Very often, a lack of opportunities for making choices and learning new things is present. Lack of foraging or the opportunity to engage in discovery opportunities like that can play a role. Lack of access to fresh air and sunshine can play a role. And of course, exposure to toxins like cigarette smoke or even substances that get on the feathers.
A list of things which again highlights how complex a problem this is, which can make it sound like quite a daunting problem to solve, Pam.
The majority of people who come to me have gotten quite frustrated and then become totally defeated when they have tried to tackle the problem alone. And this is because they get on the internet and they're led to believe that there is just one reason for the problem. So they try first one thing, you know, they might spray the bird with aloe vera, and then they try another thing, and then they try another thing, and pretty soon they feel like they've done everything, when in fact the one thing that they haven't done is to take a very comprehensive review of the parrot's existence and then correct any factors that might not be optimal.
Obviously, Pam, we're not saying here that any caregiver who cares enough about their parrots to look for a solution to FDB, especially if they've taken time to listen to this conversation, is necessarily at fault here. This is more to do with knowing what to do, and FDB is a difficult problem to deal with, isn't it?
Well, it is difficult, and people usually feel quite guilty anyway, and there's no reason for that. Usually, this boils down to a lack of experience, as well as the challenges that are inherent in keeping an undomesticated creature in your home. The simple fact is, if you've only had one or two parrots, and your experience with them numbers less than a decade, you're not going to have all the knowledge and skills that you might need in order to really make a comprehensive review of the parrot's existence and identify problems that might be present. And another contributing factor also is all of the vast amounts of information available on the internet. The internet is where most people go to learn about how to take care of parrots, and unfortunately, there is, at this point, still more bad and incorrect information available than there is true information available to caregivers. So it's very easy to be led astray and to do things in a manner that is, wrong or less than optimal.
Which is one of the reasons that the World Parrot Trust commissioned these podcasts, of course, to provide that information. Pam, it's often stated that FDB becomes or simply is a habit. That's not a label you're happy with, is it?
No, because it is simply that. It's a label, and it really gives us nowhere to go in terms of changing the behavior. I think it's more important to recognize that if a parrot has engaged in a behavior for some time, that behavior itself comes to have value to the parrot. If you consider a bird who lacks independent play skills, the bird doesn't interact with enrichment items and is perhaps overly dependent upon the owner, then that behavior of snipping away feathers gives the bird something to do when he's just sitting on his cage or is otherwise unoccupied. However, you can replace one behavior with another, and that's what we must focus on when we're dealing with a problem of feather picking in a parrot. The first step is to ignore the behavior completely. The fact is that any behavior that gets a reward is going to occur more often in the future. And I really don't know anyone who can just sit there and watch their bird chewing off his feathers without reacting in some way. So it's human nature that most caregivers will go up and interact with the bird in some way when they know that he's abusing his feathers. The problem with that is that that social attention often serves as a very strong reinforcer or reward for the parrot. So the first thing that I like to do with caregivers is to offer them a distraction technique that they can use at those times. In order to use this distraction technique, the caregiver has to have accumulated a nice little collection of foot toys or little small projects that the bird might find interesting. Something as simple as an almond in a shell wrapped in a piece of paper, can serve in this manner. And then once you have your collection of little items, you have to also be able to recognize when the bird is actually engaging in feather destructive behavior because you don't want to discourage normal preening. But assuming that you can tell when your bird is chewing off his feathers, then what you do is to create some sort of distraction, either an auditory or a visual distraction. So this might be something as simple as tapping a spoon against a pot in the kitchen or shoving a book off onto the floor or even tossing a little piece of paper up in the air. You don't want to scare the bird, but your goal is to distract him so that he stops chewing on his feathers and looks up to identify the source of the distraction. And then at that point, you immediately say, "Good," and you walk up and you offer one of these little items that you have from your collection. What you're attempting to do is to interrupt and then redirect the behavior. If he won't take what you have to offer, or he takes it and drops it, then what you do is you step him up and you transfer him to another perch. It takes many repetitions of this sort of distraction to be effective, but it can over time help to break down the behavior. Even more importantly is the fact that you need to teach the bird some new behaviors. Some people like to focus on what I term husbandry behaviors. For instance, teaching a parrot to go into a carrier or to allow his nails to be filed. But a lot of people these days find great pleasure in teaching parrots tricks. You can teach a bird to turn around on cue or to roll over. The choices are really endless. But the point is, when you're teaching new behaviors to a bird, you are often, I would say almost always, going to automatically see a reduction of problem behaviors. So this type of behavior modification is very important if you need to resolve a problem with feather picking.
Pam, you're a behavioral specialist. You treat behavioral problems directly. What are your thoughts on products designed to stop FDB, such as topical sprays, bubble collars, or outerwear designed to prevent the parrot from reaching the area that they most frequently pluck?
Well, in terms of sprays, many of them often leave a residue on the feathers, which can actually contribute to the problem. But I think the reason that they can be effective is that essentially what you're doing is you're offering a parrot increased opportunities for bathing.
Right.
You know, the parrot doesn't necessarily differentiate between a spray that comes out of a bottle that you've purchased commercially and plain water that comes out of a spray bottle. And we do know that lack of bathing is a definite risk factor for feather destructive behavior. So simply increasing bathing opportunities can help to improve the problem. So I just advise people to use plain water. Some people automatically assume that they should collar their bird. A collar is not going to do anything to actually correct a feather picking problem because it only treats the symptom and does not address the underlying causes. And furthermore, a collar contributes to decreased quality of life. It always impairs mobility and it can hinder the very behaviors that you need to encourage, such as foraging or interacting with enrichment items. And in the cases that I have encountered where a parrot was collared to prevent feather destructive behavior, it was true that the bird grew his feathers back in, but as soon as the collar was removed, the feathers came off within a very short period. So the only time when a collar should be used is if true self-mutilation occurs, when a parrot creates a wound in his own skin, because that can be a life-threatening condition.
Right, right.
In terms of outerwear, you mentioned that, and that I am seeing that used more in the last few years. I'm not opposed to those, but again, they only slow down the behavior. You're only addressing the symptom by distracting the parrot or preventing him from reaching the areas where he chews off his feathers. You're not really addressing the cause.
Right.
So if you're going to put a sock or a little vest on your bird, you still have to go through all of the steps that we've discussed during this podcast if you want to solve the problem.
Pam, thanks so much for carefully guiding us through what, as we keep stressing, is a very complex problem. I can imagine your response to this, but is there any point at which a caregiver should just admit defeat?
Well, there are times when a caregiver has to come to a place of acceptance in regards to the problem. The best chance at resolving the issue is had when it first occurs. New clients will often ask me about my rate of success when I deal with this issue, and I always have to look at the length of time during which the parrot has been engaging in the behavior, because that's going to dictate many times your success at totally resolving the problem. If you address this issue as soon as it develops, or at least within the first year, then your chances of a full resolution are really excellent. If it's been going on for longer than 2 years, though, your success rate is, or it may decrease. We all know that many parrots don't remain in their original homes. And now I see more and more caregivers who are adopting parrots that have been engaging in feather destructive behavior for years and years. In fact, I have one client who adopted a parrot who had been chewing off her feathers for about 18 years.
18 years.
Yes, and when we consulted, I encouraged her to have very realistic expectations because I really did not anticipate much improvement. This same bird is, however, growing in a few feathers here and there, and I doubt that she will ever be fully feathered, and her caregiver is very accepting of this reality. But I think it's important also to realize that now this bird has an increased quality of life, and that's what the real goal is. The goal isn't that the bird has all of its feathers. That would be nice. But when you tackle this problem and you rule out medical issues and then address the non-medical causes, you will always increase your bird's quality of life, even if they don't always regrow their feathers. And that's the important thing to realize and remember.
Yeah, of course, that is indeed what's important. Pam, I think I've learned enough over the course of this fascinating conversation to really appreciate that feather destructive behavior is, as we've said a number of times now, a very complex problem. And that, therefore, the best resource to turn to is going to be a behavioral specialist like yourself who understands the problem. You also understand, I'm sure, how a potential client might feel when approaching a specialist to tell them that a bird they care for has been pulling its feathers out. As a final question, can I ask you, what does a specialist like yourself do when someone comes to you for help?
Well, I can only tell you what I do personally. I suppose that everyone has their own approach to dealing with a new client. The first thing I like to do is to just have a conversation with people to establish a rapport. And I like to also set a new client's mind at ease, both in terms of hope for the future and to make sure that they're not beating themselves up about the problem. Most people who come to me feel quite badly that their parrot is abusing their feathers. They feel guilty. And I like to remind them that you're not responsible for information that you don't have. Keeping parrots is very much of a challenge. And, you know, I think people need to be very gentle and compassionate with themselves if they do have a bird who is destroying their feathers. And then if they decide that they want to go ahead with a consultation, what I do is to send them quite an extensive questionnaire that is about 12 pages in length, because when I review that prior to our telephone appointment, then I can always, it never fails, I can create my list of partial causes as I read through the information that they have provided. It's very much like being a detective.
Right.
You know, the veil lifts and the mystery dissolves, and I can come up with some very concrete action steps for improvement in certain areas. And as I said before, that always does increase quality of life. It very often increases physical as well as psychological health for the bird. And in, I would say, the majority of cases, it results in more feathers as well.
Pamela Clark, thank you so much for talking us through what is such a complex problem and really helping us to understand exactly what feather destructive behavior is and how it can be helped. Thank you.
Oh, Charlie, you're so welcome. I hope that this has been of some help to our members, and I hope that they find what I have had to say encouraging also, because many times people just get so defeated and so frustrated, they assume that there really is no help. But often these problems can be solved, and that's the real message of hope that I hope people will take away from this podcast.
I'm sure they will, Pam. I'm sure they will. Thank you very much again.
You're welcome, Charlie. Bye now.
For more information on booking Pam as a behavior consultant or speaker, please visit her website at www.pamelaclarkonline.com. For more information about parrots and current conservation efforts, visit the World Parrot Trust on the web at www.parrot.org. And finally, for more information about talking naturally, please do visit my site at www.talking-naturally.co.uk.